Hey, future nurses, do you ever feel like all the medications you need to learn about are just too much?
Oh, absolutely. It can be overwhelming, for sure.
Like, seriously overwhelming.
Definitely.
Today, we're going to tackle a big one: cholesterol-lowering drugs.
We're going to break it down into really manageable pieces.
Exactly. Whether you're studying for an exam,
Or about to start clinicals.
you'll be ready.
So let's jump right in.
Okay, so first things first, what are we even talking about when we say dyslipidemia?
Dyslipidemia basically means that there are abnormal levels of lipids in the blood.
Okay, so we're talking about things like cholesterol.
Yep, cholesterol is one of them.
Triglycerides.
Triglycerides too, and phospholipids.
Okay, so why do we care so much about these lipids?
Well, high levels of certain lipids, especially LDL cholesterol, the bad kind,
Ah, yes, the bad cholesterol.
it can actually contribute to
And
atherosclerosis.
atherosclerosis.
It's the buildup of plaque in the arteries, and that can lead to some serious problems.
Like heart attacks and strokes.
Exactly, heart attacks and strokes.
Okay, so we want to keep those lipids in check.
Absolutely.
But before we jump into medications, what about lifestyle changes?
Oh, lifestyle changes are essential.
They're like the foundation.
Absolutely the cornerstone of managing dyslipidemia.
So what kind of lifestyle changes should nursing students be teaching their patients?
Well, first and foremost, diet is huge.
Of course, diet.
We want to encourage patients to reduce their intake of saturated fat and cholesterol.
So less of the fatty meats and full-fat dairy products.
Exactly. And processed foods too. I gotta watch out for those.
So more fruits and veggies, less junk food.
That's the idea.
Got it, what else?
Increasing fiber intake is also really important.
Okay, fiber good for the gut, right.
It is, but it's also great for cholesterol.
Really? Tell me more.
Fiber actually helps bind to cholesterol in the gut and prevents it from being absorbed.
Wow, so it's like a natural cholesterol blocker.
You got it.
Okay, I'm adding more fiber to my grocery list for sure.
And of course, regular physical activity is crucial too. Oh, exercise. I knew that was coming.
It helps increase that good cholesterol, HDL,
The good guy.
and it improves overall cardiovascular health.
That's great. And what about smoking?
If a patient smokes, supporting smoking cessation is absolutely essential.
It's one of the worst things for your heart, right?
Definitely lowers HDL and increases the risk of heart disease.
Got it. So lots of good lifestyle changes to encourage our patients to make.
Absolutely.
But sometimes those aren't enough, right?
Sometimes you need a little extra help, and that's where medications come in.
Let's talk about statins then. Those seem to be the most well-known cholesterol-lowering drugs.
They definitely are. Statins are like the rock stars of cholesterol management.
So how do they work?
Statins work by inhibiting an enzyme called HMG-CoA reductase.
Say that 5 times fast.
I know, it's a
Well,
mouthful.
what does that actually do?
Basically, this enzyme is essential for cholesterol production in the liver.
So statins tell the liver to slow down on making cholesterol.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Okay, that makes sense. A classic example of a statin is atorvastatin, also known as Lipitor.
I've heard of that one.
It's one of the most commonly prescribed.
But statins have some side effects, right?
They do, and that's something nursing students really need to be aware of.
Okay, what are the main ones to watch out for?
The most common side effects are muscle-related patients might complain of muscle aches.
Oh, so that's why my grandma always complains about her legs hurting after she takes her statin.
It's definitely possible. In most cases, those muscle aches are mild.
But sometimes it's more serious.
Right. There's a small risk of more serious problems like myositis, which is inflammation of the muscles.
Okay, so we need to take muscle aches seriously.
Absolutely. If the pain is severe or doesn't go away, it needs to be investigated.
What about other side effects?
Well, statins can also affect liver function.
Oh, really?
Usually it's mild, but we need to monitor liver enzymes through blood tests.
Okay, so regular blood work is important.
Definitely.
So statins are powerful, but they do come with some potential risks. What about fibrates? I know those are used sometimes when triglycerides are high.
That's right. Fibrates are another class of lipid-lowering medications.
And they work differently than statins.
They do. Instead of inhibiting cholesterol production, fibrates increase the activity of an enzyme called lipoprotein lipase.
Okay, and what does that enzyme do?
Lipoprotein lipase breaks down triglycerides.
So if statins put the brakes on cholesterol production.
Fibrates step on the gas for triglyceride breakdown.
I like that analogy.
It helps to visualize it, right?
Definitely so. What are some examples of fibrates?
Fenofibrate and gemfibrozil are two of the most common ones.
And what about side effects?
Well, like statins, fibrates can also cause muscle problems.
So we're always watching out for muscle pain and weakness.
Always. And fibrates can also cause gastrointestinal upset.
Like nausea and diarrhea.
Exactly. And there's also a potential risk of gallstones.
Okay, so those are some things to be aware of.
For sure.
What about bile acid sequestrants? I remember those being a bit of a mystery in pharmacology class.
They do have a pretty unique way of working.
Can you break it down for us?
Bile acid sequestrants actually bind to bile acids in the intestines, preventing them from being reabsorbed.
And why is that a good thing?
Well, it forces the liver to use up more cholesterol to make new bile acids.
So it's like they're tricking the liver into using up more cholesterol.
You could say that it's a sneaky way of lowering cholesterol levels.
Pretty cool.
And since they work primarily in the digestive system, most of their side effects are gastrointestinal too.
Makes sense. So we're talking constipation, bloating, gas.
That's right, not the most fun side effects.
But hey, if it works.
And another thing to remember is that they can interfere with the absorption of certain vitamins,
Oh, really? Which ones?
especially the fat-soluble vitamins
Yeah.
A, D, E, and K.
So patients might need to take supplements.
Exactly, especially if they're on long-term therapy.
Okay, so we've covered statins, fibrates, and bile acid sequestrants.
What's next?
What about cholesterol absorption inhibitors? What are those all about?
Cholesterol absorption inhibitors do exactly what their name suggests.
They block the absorption of cholesterol from the diet.
You got it.
So they're like the gatekeepers of the intestines, saying no entry for cholesterol.
I love that analogy. The main cholesterol absorption inhibitor you need to know is ezetimibe.
Ezetimibe, got it.
It's often used in combination with a statin to further lower LDL cholesterol.
What about side effects? Anything major to watch out for?
Thankfully, the side effects of ezetimibe are usually pretty mild.
That's good news.
The most common ones are headache, diarrhea, and nausea.
Okay, so nothing too scary.
But just like with fibrates and bile acid sequestrants, combining ezetimibe with a statin can increase the risk of muscle problems.
Okay, so another reminder to be vigilant about those muscle-related side effects.
Definitely.
Now, we've talked about lowering LDL cholesterol and triglycerides.
But what about HDL, the good cholesterol?
Yeah, is there anything we can do to boost that?
There is. Niacin, or vitamin B3, can increase HDL levels.
That's good.
It can also lower LDL and triglycerides.
Oh, wow, so it's like a triple threat.
It is, but it does come with some side effects.
Oh, there are always side effects, aren't there?
It seems like it. The biggest one with niacin is flushing.
Flushing, what's that?
It's basically a sudden redness and warmth of the skin.
So you turn bright red.
Pretty much it can be quite uncomfortable for some people.
Next. Okay.
And there are also some more serious potential side effects like liver toxicity and blood sugar problems.
Okay, so niacin is effective but has some baggage.
That's a good way to put it.
What about PCSK9 inhibitors? Those sound pretty high tech.
They are. They're the newest class of cholesterol-lowering medications, and they're incredibly effective.
Okay, tell me more.
The two main ones you'll see are elarekumab and evolocumab.
Got it.
They work by blocking a protein called PCSK9, which normally helps break down LDL receptors.
Hold on, break that down for me.
Imagine you have these little garbage trucks in your liver called LDL receptors. Their job is to pick up LDL cholesterol from the blood and get rid of it.
Okay, I can picture that.
Now, PCSK9 is like a saboteur that comes along and destroys those garbage trucks.
Oh no.
So by blocking PCSK9, these drugs actually increase the number of LDL receptors.
So more garbage trucks to take away the bad cholesterol.
Exactly. More LDL cholesterol gets removed from the bloodstream.
That's awesome. So they're like super-powered cholesterol removers.
You could say that they're very powerful, but they do have some downsides.
Like what?
They're given by injection, which can be a barrier for some patients.
Okay, I can see how that might not be ideal.
And they're also quite expensive.
So those are definitely reserved for specific situations.
Definitely, they're typically used for patients with familial hypercholesterolemia or for those who haven't responded to other treatments.
Okay, so the heavy hitters of cholesterol management.
Exactly.
Now, what about combination therapy? When do you use more than one medication to treat dyslipidemia?
Combination therapy is common when a single drug isn't enough to get those lipid levels where we want them.
So it's like a team effort to tackle cholesterol. What are some common combinations?
You often see statins combined with other medications, like ezetimibe, for example.
Okay, makes sense.
But it's really important to be aware of potential interactions.
Oh, right, like some drugs just don't play well together.
Exactly. Combining certain medications, like fibrates and statins, can increase the risk of muscle problems.
So knowing which drugs can be safely combined is crucial.
Absolutely. It's all about patient safety.
Wow, we've covered so much information already.
We have, and we've only just scratched the surface.
There's so much more to learn about these medications.
But hopefully this gives you a good foundation.
Definitely.
And helps you feel more confident about approaching cholesterol management.
For sure. Stay tuned, everyone, because we're diving even deeper into the world of cholesterol-lowering medications in the next part of our deep dive.
We'll be back with more insights and clinical pearls.
And we'll make sure you're well-equipped to provide excellent care to your patients.
Sounds good.
Sounds great. Welcome back to our cholesterol deep dive.
Ready to go even deeper.
Absolutely. Mm. What else do we need to know to really master these medications?
Well, one of the most important things is understanding how to tailor treatment to specific patients.
Oh, right. Because everyone's different.
Exactly. Age is a big factor, for example.
Like, how do you approach cholesterol management in kids versus adults?
Good question. With kids, lifestyle changes are always the first line of defense.
Just like we talked about earlier.
Yep. Healthy diet, exercise, all that good stuff.
So no statins for the little ones?
Not usually. Statins can be used in children, but only in very specific situations.
Like if they have a really strong family history of high cholesterol.
Exactly. Or if they have other serious risk factors and lifestyle changes just aren't cutting it.
And even then, you'd monitor them super closely, right?
Absolutely. You want to watch out for any signs of side effects.
Okay, so extra caution with the kids.
Definitely. What about older adults? Any special considerations there?
I would imagine so.
Yeah, older adults tend to be more sensitive to medications in general. They might be more likely to experience side effects, especially from statins.
Oh, right, because their bodies might not process medications as efficiently.
That's part of it, and they might also have other health conditions that could complicate things.
So how do you adjust treatment for older patients?
Often it's about starting with a lower dose and increasing it gradually as needed.
And of course, close monitoring is key.
Always. Now, what about pregnancy and breastfeeding? That's a whole other ball game.
I was just thinking about that. Are these medications safe to use during pregnancy?
Most of them are actually contraindicated during pregnancy and breastfeeding.
Meaning they could be harmful to the baby.
Exactly. Statins, for example, are known to cause birth defects.
Oh, wow, that's serious.
And other medications, like fibrates, just haven't been studied extensively enough in pregnant women to know for sure whether they're safe.
So it's better to err on the side of caution.
Definitely. If a pregnant woman has high cholesterol, the focus is on lifestyle modifications.
Diet, exercise, all that good stuff.
Yep. Those are the safest and most effective ways to manage cholesterol during pregnancy.
Makes sense. Now, what about patients with kidney or liver problems? Do those conditions affect how these medications are used?
Absolutely. Both the kidneys and the liver are involved in processing and eliminating these medications.
So if those organs aren't working properly, it could cause problems.
Exactly. It can lead to a buildup of the drug in the body, which increases the risk of side effects.
Okay, that makes sense. So how do you approach treatment for patients with kidney or liver issues?
It really depends on the specific medication and how severe the organ dysfunction is.
Okay, so there's no one-size-fits-all answer.
Right. Some medications might need to be avoided altogether.
Others might need a dose adjustment.
Exactly. And sometimes close monitoring of kidney or liver function tests is enough.
Wow. There's a lot to consider.
There is. It's a real balancing act, finding the safest and most effective treatment plan for each individual patient.
I'm starting to see why it's so important for nurses to have a deep understanding of these medications.
It's not just about memorizing drug names.
It's about understanding how they work in the body.
And how different factors can affect their use.
Right, like age, pregnancy, organ function, all that stuff.
Exactly. Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about how these medications are actually administered.
Okay, so we're talking routes of administration.
Yep. Most cholesterol-lowering medications are taken orally.
As pills or capsules.
Exactly. Pretty straightforward.
But I remember you mentioned that PCSK9 inhibitors are given by injection.
That's right. They're typically administered subcutaneously.
Meaning just under the skin.
Yep. So nurses need to be comfortable with giving injections.
That's a basic nursing skill, but still good to review, right?
Definitely. It's important to make sure you're using the proper technique and following all the safety protocols.
Okay. What else about administration should we know?
Well, the timing of administration can be important for some of these medications.
Like some are better taken with food? While others should be taken on an empty stomach.
Exactly. And some need to be taken at specific times of day, like in the morning or at bedtime.
So it's all about following those doctor's orders carefully.
Absolutely. Always double check the instructions. And if you have any doubts, ask a pharmacist or another nurse.
Good advice. Now let's talk about monitoring.
Okay. What do we need to be watching for once a patient starts taking a cholesterol-lowering medication?
That's a good question. What are the key things to monitor?
One of the most important is liver function, since many of these drugs are metabolized by the liver.
So regular blood tests to check liver enzyme levels.
Exactly. If those levels are elevated, it could be a sign of liver damage.
Okay, so we're on the lookout for that.
Another big one is muscle function, especially with statins and fibrates.
We've talked a lot about the risk of muscle problems.
Right, so it's crucial to ask your patients about any muscle pain, weakness, or tenderness.
And take those complaints seriously.
Absolutely. If they're experiencing any of those symptoms, you need to assess them carefully.
Okay, so watch out for those muscle aches.
And of course, you also want to monitor their lipid levels regularly.
To see if the medication is actually working.
Exactly. Is their LDL cholesterol going down? Is their HDL cholesterol going up? Are their triglycerides staying within a healthy range?
So we're looking for both positive and negative effects.
Right. It's about finding that balance between maximizing the benefits of the medication and minimizing the risks.
Now let's talk about patient education.
That's such an important part of nursing care.
It really is. What are the key things we should be teaching our patients about these medications?
Well, first and foremost, make sure they understand why they're taking the medication.
So explain what dyslipidemia is and how the medication helps.
Exactly. Use clear, simple language, no medical jargon.
Keep it easy to understand.
Definitely. You also want to go over the potential side effects.
Be honest about the possibilities, but don't scare them.
Right. It's about informing them without alarming them.
And let them know what to watch for and when to call their doctor.
Exactly. Give them the tools to be active participants in their own care.
What about medication adherence? I imagine that's a big one.
It is. Emphasize how important it is to take the medication as prescribed.
No skipping doses or stopping without talking to their doctor.
Right. Consistency is key for managing cholesterol levels.
And, of course, we can't forget about those healthy lifestyle habits.
Absolutely. Even if they're taking medication, diet and exercise are still crucial.
So it's a team effort.
Exactly. Patient, nurse, doctor, and medication all working together.
This has been so helpful. I feel like I have a much better grasp on these medications now.
That's great to hear. Remember, learning is a continuous process.
Always be curious. Always be asking questions.
Exactly. And always strive to provide the best possible care for your patients.
Well said. Future nurses, get ready for even more insights in the final part of our cholesterol deep dive. Welcome back to our cholesterol deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground already, but now it's time to really get specific.
That's right. We're going to look at the individual medications within each drug class.
Okay, so we're going beyond those broad categories.
We're getting into the nitty-gritty details.
The stuff that'll really make a difference in your nursing practice.
Exactly.
Awesome. So where should we start?
Let's stick with the statins since they're the most commonly prescribed.
Makes sense. So within the statin family, are there any key things nursing students should be aware of?
Definitely. There are some important differences in terms of how potent they are, how they're metabolized, and their potential for interactions with other drugs.
Okay, so it's not just a one-size-fits-all approach with statins.
Not at all. You need to choose the right statin for the right patient.
So how would you go about choosing one statin over another? What are some things to consider?
Well, let's take atorvastatin as an example.
Yeah.
It's very potent, so it can really bring those LDL levels down.
So that's a good thing, right?
It is, but it also means there's a higher risk of side effects, especially muscle-related problems.
Okay, so it's kind of a trade-off. High potency, but higher risk.
Exactly. Now, on the other hand, you have something like pravastatin.
Pravastatin. Okay.
It's a milder statin, generally better tolerated.
So that might be a good option for someone who's worried about side effects.
Especially for older adults who might be more sensitive to those side effects.
Okay, so pravastatin for the more cautious approach.
You could say that. And that's why it's so important to understand the nuances of each medication.
Right. It's about finding the best fit for each individual patient.
Exactly.
What about other statins? Are there any other pearls of wisdom you can share with us?
Well, rosuvastatin is another one that's becoming quite popular.
Rosuvastatin.
It's also very potent at lowering LDL, and it has a long half-life.
So it stays in the body longer.
Yes, which means patients might be able to take it less often.
Oh, that's convenient. Fewer pills to remember.
It is, but that also means there's a higher risk of interactions with other medications.
Oh, right. Because it's hanging around in the body for longer.
Exactly. So you need to be extra cautious about potential interactions when you're working with rosuvastatin.
Got it. So another thing to keep in mind.
Definitely. Now let's move on to fibrates.
Okay, fibrates.
Yeah.
We talked about gemfibrozil and fenofibrate earlier, But are there any key differences between those two that we should be aware of?
There are. Gemfibrozil is an older fibrate, and it can interact with statins.
Oh no, that doesn't sound good.
It increases the risk of muscle problems, so we generally try to avoid using them together.
Okay, so no gemfibrozil statin cocktails.
Right. Fenofibrate is a newer fibrate, and it has a lower risk of those interactions.
So if you had to choose a fibrate to use with a statin, fenofibrate would be the safer bet.
Most likely, yes. It's also generally better tolerated in terms of gastrointestinal side effects.
Okay, good to know. Now, what about those bile acid sequestrants? I remember you mentioning that colostramine can be kind of tough for patients to take.
It can be. It comes as a powder that needs to be mixed with liquid, and it has a pretty gritty texture.
Yeah, I can imagine that wouldn't be very pleasant.
It's not the most appealing medication.
Are there any alternatives?
There is calicivelam. It's available in tablet form, so it's much easier to swallow.
Okay, that's good.
And it's also less likely to cause constipation, which is a common side effect with bile acid sequestrants.
So calicivelam might be a better option for patients who are struggling with those other side effects.
Exactly. Again, it's all about finding what works best for each patient.
Now, those PCSK9 inhibitors, they seem like they could be a challenge for some patients.
How so?
Well, they're very effective, but they require injections, right?
That's right. Both ilaricumab and evolocumab are given by injection.
And they're expensive too, right?
They are. So they're typically reserved for patients with very high cholesterol levels who haven't responded to other treatments.
Like those with familial hypercholesterolemia.
Exactly. Or for patients who are at very high risk of heart disease.
So it's kind of like the last resort for cholesterol management.
You could say that. It's a very powerful tool, but it's not for everyone.
Wow, we've really covered a lot of ground in these three parts of our deep dive. It's amazing how many different options there are for managing cholesterol now.
It is, and the research is constantly evolving, so there's always something new to learn.
So for all those future nurses out there who are feeling overwhelmed by all this information, what are the key takeaways? What are the absolute must-knows about cholesterol-lowering medications?
Okay, here's a quick recap of the essentials. First, always start with lifestyle modifications.
Okay, lifestyle first.
Diet, exercise, smoking cessation, those are the foundation of dyslipidemia management.
Got it. What else?
Second, really understand those different drug classes and how they work.
Statins, fibrates, bile acids, sequestrants, all those fun names.
Exactly. Knowing how each class works will help you make informed decisions about your patient's care.
Okay, know your drug classes inside and out. What else is crucial?
Third, be aware of those potential side effects and drug interactions.
Right. We've talked a lot about muscle problems, liver toxicity, GI issues.
Be vigilant. Watch out for those red flags.
Be a detective for your patients.
I like that. Now, fourth, remember that each patient is an individual.
So what works for one person might not work for another.
Exactly. Consider their age, their other medical conditions, their lifestyle, all of that.
It's about tailoring treatment to their specific needs.
Absolutely. And finally, remember that you're not just there to give medications.
We're educators, advocates, partners in our patients' health journeys.
Exactly. Empower your patients, support their decisions, help them navigate the complexities of managing their cholesterol.
That's great advice. It's about building those relationships and providing truly holistic care.
I couldn't agree more. And that's what makes nursing such a rewarding and fulfilling profession.
I think we've covered just about everything. Future nurses, you should feel confident and well-equipped to care for your patients with dyslipidemia.
You've got the knowledge. Now go out there and make a difference.
A huge thank you to Expert Speaker for sharing your expertise with us today.
My pleasure. It was a great conversation.
And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the world of cholesterol-lowering medications.
Remember, stay curious, keep learning, and never stop advocating for your patients.
Until next time, stay healthy, everyone.